Hey, you're listening to The Treehouse Storyteller. Meet me in the treehouse for God-shaped storytelling. Treehouse Storyteller is where we can come together as messy parents seeking Jesus together and raising kids to love him too. If you aren't scared of addressing cultural issues head-on and finding a deeper understanding of the biblical worldview to share with your children, then you've come to the right place. I'm not afraid to be transparent and tell all of the juicy details. Our children are being chased by the world, and it is our job to be well-equipped and know not only how to lead our flock, but successfully send our arrows out into the world one day to build the kingdom. So snuggle up by the fire or soak up the sunshine with those earbuds in and meet me in the treehouse for some biblical storytelling. Guys, today's going to be super awesome. We are going to talk about moving mountains with our kids. And I'm going to walk you kind of through some experiences through the Bible, some stories that will really help us and some encouragement. And then later on, we're going to talk through having doubts, because I believe every kid at some point, every human on this planet at some point goes through a season of doubts. So we're going to talk about how to handle that and how to push into God's truth and how to build our faith. Then we're also going to talk about prayer and why Sunday school answers like it's Jesus and pray and read my Bible, why those things really actually matter and why they matter to God and why they matter to us and to our children. So that way we can wrap our heads around that. And when we are teaching our children and discipling our children, we have a little bit more ammunition built up in our tool belt. So let's dive in. We are going to start with Mark 11, 20 through 26. I will read it to you, but feel free to open up your Bible. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, or to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. This is a meaty section of scripture. We have a lot of things that we could pull. I will probably miss the opportunity to talk on every single little bit that is mentioned here and the meaning behind everything. But the main things we're going to hit is that forgiveness, the prayer, and the ability to have faith to move mountains. And that's possibly the hard part. But I think there's a lot of hard parts in there that Jesus is really pushing into the disciples and trying to minister to their hearts that are either in disbelief or are not fully equipped yet in understanding the concepts of prayer and the concepts of what the Holy Spirit and what God is able to do through his power. So we're going to kind of work our way through this a little bit. And so kind of a backstory, you know, Jesus has passed by this fig tree earlier and has kind of cursed it and told it, like, you'll never ever produce fruit. No one will ever eat from you again. And so this is the follow-up response after they pass it a second time. And Peter remembers, hey, that's the fig tree you cursed. And so he's kind of surprised, I think, that, you know, all of a sudden this fig tree that Jesus has cursed, like, oh, wow, it actually is totally withered away. Like, you had the power to do that, Rabbi. Holy cow. Like, that's crazy. So I think, you know, that's kind of the first piece that we can talk through. And when we move through this kind of scripture with our kids, I think it's really important to pull out verse 22, where he says, whoever says to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. Guys, I think that in our world right now, I think in our world always, but especially right now, and I think for our children's world that they are growing up into and being raised to move mountains, I think there are a lot of mountains for us to get through. And I don't think all of these mountains are necessarily mountains that are intended to climb, but I think some of these mountains we have to move. And I think we literally, whether it's metaphorically or physically, I think there are a lot of spiritual mountains that we and our children have to rebuke and have to tell to get out of our way. And we see things, whether it's the education system, without going into like super strong detail here, whether it's our education system that we need moved out of our way, whether it's certain laws or legislation or, you know, whatever it is, like there's certain points of leadership, there's certain things going on in the church that we need moved. And I think that as a foundational level, we have to have the faith first and foremost to know that with Jesus and with relying on his Holy Spirit, we actually have the power to move mountains, not by our own power, but by the Holy Spirit. And so I think it's so important to teach our kids at such a young age, because the Bible says to have faith like children. And the reason why I believe we are to have faith like children is because children think they can fly. They think they can go to all of these, you know, fantasy worlds in their mind. They can play pretend. They can think outside of the box. They can think that they can defy gravity and all of these things. And don't hear me wrong here. I'm not saying we can define our own truth. That's definitely not what I'm saying. But I think the mind of a child is not as restricted as the mind of an adult who's been told over and over again, no, actually, that can't work. Or, yeah, I don't think that's going to work right now. Or, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but here's a no. And I have gotten more no's the older that I get. I only got yeses when I was young. And when I was at the height of my design career as an early interior designer in the architecture world, I only knew yeses. I was only given opportunity. No doors were shutting for me in that season of life. And I think that was so awesome to live through that, to realize like, hey, like it was also kind of deceiving. Like, hey, I can do anything. I can, you know, like no one's going to say no to me. And I kind of, you know, got a little prideful just believing that I would be able to always get the job or get the part or get whatever it was and get the design bid. And now that I've had a few, I have realized that I am starting to get significantly more no's. And as we all get older, I think we start to be more practical or more realistic and just go, it's not possible. But the mind of a child doesn't think that way until they're shot down. And they have to be shot down over and over and over again to lose that kind of faith. And so I think our mind like a child, our faith like a child, needs to be such that we see the power of God, the creator of the world, the maker of the universe, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the Alpha to Omega, as I like to say, because the phrase Alpha and Omega actually means the beginning all the way to the end, not the beginning. He's not a book end. He is all of it, all of the stuff in the middle. So he is beginning to end, and he is able to move the mountains. With his voice, he can say move and it will move. And so this next section kind of goes into prayer. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So Jesus is really teaching that our heart needs to be a heart of grace and forgiveness toward those people around us. Otherwise, if we're holding a grudge, and I think kids are good at this too, we can kind of hold a grudge like, well, they were mean to me. Or, you know, you hear their sweet little voices, you know, after they've played with someone or they were at someone's house and so-and-so didn't let them play with their favorite stuffy or whatever it is. And it's easy for them to, it's easy for all of us to hold a grudge or to take a, you know, a one-off circumstance that didn't align with what we wanted and to hold it against them. So I think it's important here to teach our kids that, hey, we need to forgive each other because our Father's already forgiven us. And we want Him to forgive us. We want Him to always, you know, that to always be part of us, that we are forgiving other people because that's Christ-like. That's acting like Christ when we forgive others. The biggest ways to act like Christ is to forgive and to love people regardless of their wrongcomings, regardless of the sin in their life. We can still love the person, right? We can hate the sin and we can love the person. We can hate the act that was done against us, but we can still love the human that made a mistake because we all are making mistakes. So James 1:6, we're going to do some Bible aerobics today, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. This is an easy word picture, and we don't want to be tossed by the wind out to sea, but we want to stand firm and we want to be anchored to God's truth and our faith have an anchor in his biblical principles and biblical truth that we're not tossed. And we might kind of blow a little here or there, but we are not out to sea to drown. Luke 4:23, he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." Guys, this is like a claiming that whatever was done in Capernaum, we also can do here. So I look at this verse and I'm like, if we need healing, it is possible in the Lord. We talked the last solo episode about cessationism and how there are a great amount of believers, strong Christian men and women that doubt and do not believe that the Holy Spirit is living and active right now. And that we cannot utilize the power of the Holy Spirit to perform a miracle. Guys, I have seen it done. I have been there. I have seen it. I have prayed. I've experienced it. I used to have a lot worse allergies and I was prayed over in high school. I was always on allergy medication, lots of crazy things, and I was prayed over, laid hands on to remove my allergies. And guys, I have like a few moments in different parts of the year, like different seasonal moments where I'm a little bit still feel like, okay, I'm sneezing a little extra today. But I do not take allergy meds. I do not have to like claim that I have a bunch of allergies anymore. There's like certain things that I do have, but that one was healed, like completely healed. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord gave that to me because that was a very significant timing that I was prayed over because I was living in a season where I was trying to figure out, I didn't even know what the word cessationist was at that period of time because I kind of was living that out. And I wasn't living that out on purpose. It was just the people around me were not living through the Spirit and like teaching me and raising me up and discipling me in that. And so in our house, we really teach the power of the Holy Spirit with our children because we want them raised up while they have that really absorbing faith to understand, hey, if we pray over this, it's going to move. That mountain that we are praying for to move, it's going to go away because we have power in the name. Power in the name of Jesus. Always perfectly answered the way that we think they should be answered. And God is not a genie in a bottle. But I do believe that if we push out with the faith first that He will change, He will move, He will heal us, then I do believe that there is so much power there because there's power in our faith. Believing whatever will be done, whoever believes that those things will be done, it will be done. So we just have to like switch our thinking to really prove to ourselves because it's our flesh and our worldly mentality and our mind and our thoughts and our, you know, our body and our soul that's holding us back from the fullness of what He's able to do in our forever eternal spirit that He's made new if we are in Christ. So Matthew 28:17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. How many times do we do this? Do we go to church? Do we go corporately? Do we put on praise music in our car and we're just worshiping the Lord? God, you're so great. You're so amazing. But then when the rubber meets the road, we're doubting. Convicting verse for us to remember, like worshiping with one side of our mouth, but out of the other side, we're really doubting what he is capable of doing in our lives. So let's claim that power. Let's claim it. Oh, doubts. I don't want to have doubts. I believe just as what we've done in Capernaum, God wants and promises us the ability in the United States as well, or wherever you're listening, in your town, in your city, in your country. Doubts that I think I have had are in my own ability because I put power in myself, right? So let me explain. So when I think I have to accomplish something and it's something only I can do, that's where it's really easy to have doubts because I'm trying to trust myself and not trust God. So specifically, I'll give you an example related to homeschool, okay? So when I was I'm going to totally be a homeschool mom, my oldest was preschool. So we committed to preschool, homeschool. Guys, there's like no happier homeschool place than preschool. And then we naturally just continued through kindergarten. And I started, we're getting into reading, we're sounding more things out. And we start to get snagged because my son is not really progressing with reading. And really, looking back at it, there are a couple things going on. One, it just hadn't clicked yet. That's like the easy thing. Like, well, it just hasn't clicked and he's five. So we really don't need to put the pressure there. But I, you know, first time homeschool mom, I was putting all the pressure on myself and him and trying to figure out why in the world is this not working. So we needed more time to age just a little bit. And he's really young for preschool or for kindergarten. And then the second thing was that I was starting to doubt, oh my word, like I'm not able to teach him how to read. I've never learned how to teach someone how to read. I've learned how to read, but I don't remember learning how to read. So I don't really know how to teach this. And so I started this whole journey of self-doubt, which led me into mainstreaming my kids for a matter of years before I kind of snapped out of it and regained the Lord's confidence in that area of my life. And so I think one of the biggest doubts people have is homeschool, because I hear that response from non-homeschool mothers all the time. Like, oh, I could never do that. I mean, how many times do you hear people say that? Or maybe you've said that. Oh my word, I could never do that. Or here's my favorite one. Oh my word, you must be so patient. I do not have enough patience for that. Guys, I'm not patient. It's where I choose to put my patience. I don't have patience for pickup and drop off lines. I don't have patience for that. So I usually turn around and go, well, I don't have patience for public school. I don't know how you sit through those lines for 45 minutes morning and night. I don't know how you wait on teachers' emails and like try and decipher what's due when from someone else's schedule. I don't have patience for that. Like, so I think it totally goes both ways. But that's my favorite one. But my point is that we doubt ourselves and that we think the other side of the road or the, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side kind of concept. And we put ourselves in this game of comparison, which I have a really good episode coming out, I think next week, on comparison. Just a little plug really quick. I get to interview two amazingly lovely ladies about their new book, Comparison Girls, Teens. I don't have the title right in front of me, but it's going to be an awesome episode where we talk through a lot of nitty gritty with teens, tweens, and the art of comparison, which is really a messy art. Okay, so back to doubts. We have to, I want to take the time to go through a couple crazy statistics I came across lately about homeschool while we're on the topic. And since you asked, I'll tell you. So most people are totally scared to homeschool. And then the other one is, well, they're not going to be socialized. I know I'm going off on a tangent here, guys, but I have to loop this. I just really feel called to bridge the gap between home concept of doubts, because I just think it's probably there for my listeners. Or you are already homeschooling and you're doubting that you're doing a good job. So I want to hit this. So the whole, our kids are not going to be socialized if we pull them out of school. My favorite one. So school age kids is the one and only time in their entire life, so what, like 13 years of your life, that you will, among peers of the exact same identical age and learning level. The second that you are adulting and doing all the things, you are now all of a sudden having to work alongside people that are younger, older, way older, super experienced, maybe very stubborn, have a lot of other upbringings, a lot of diverse backgrounds. But when we go to school, and I went to public school, so I know it really well, I went to school with a lot of people that looked just like me, that thought just like me, that our parents did things together. We went to the same church. Are you getting my drift here? So there's not a lot of necessarily true socialization happening, because we kind of would do things with that same group of people anyways. But when you go into the workplace, you're having to meet and work with and work well with all of these different diverse groups of people. You actually can experience socialization on a bigger, more diverse scale, because you're going to the grocery store with your parents. You're going to work with your parents. You're going to events like my kids. I drag them to my events. Actually, they kind of beg right now, but I'm sure they will hit a point where I drag them, where we go to events together, where we go to speaking gigs, we go to business fair, conferences, like all of these things. They travel with us. They have to know how to interact with adults and respect adults. And that's just a really awesome thing about homeschool and socialization. Another fun fact I came across recently is that homeschool has doubled since 2016. By 2022, homeschool students have grown to 4.3 million. So guys, I think we are moving mountains, educationally speaking. I think educationally and probably spiritually moving some giant mountains that are 4.3 million children strong. I'd encourage you guys with those, because those were cool statistics I came across, and you're the perfect audience to share them with. And one more, 98% of homeschooled students participate in an average of 5 extracurriculars per week. Holy cow. All right, so shout out to my homeschool families, because you guys are moving mountains and doing some awesome things. And I am not shaming my public schoolers, because I think there is still some amazing things happening in the public school system. When you look really close in some of the towns, some of the locations, I've had great conversations with parents that are moving mountains within those school walls. And I think we still have to be a voice in the public square. So all of that is awesome. Keep it up. The next part of the verse is really talking about forgiveness and prayer. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let's talk about these Sunday school answers. Why is it so important? Why does every kid in Sunday school that they're supposed to probably answer with either pray more, or it's Jesus, or read the Bible? Like, those are the three, you know, Sunday school answers that we always have. If we have a strong prayer life, and it's something I prayed at the beginning of last year, God, really, really teach me how to pray better. And I don't mean like by the words that I use, because I don't think that matters a whole lot, but by my frequency and my need to pray. And the second that I started focusing and emphasizing on my prayer life, I really saw the Lord meet me there. And I really saw faithfulness. And the second that I lay things down at his feet, I feel a bigger release than I did before, because I'm learning to do it more frequently. And I think these mamas that, like, back in the early part of the century and before that had these prayer rooms where they could just go off and hide in a prayer room. I really think they understood how important prayer was. And I don't think that we, especially in America, especially in our first world problems, life, I don't think really be on our knees a whole lot. And maybe that's just me, but I do think culturally I see that. I think people are coming to prayer. I have seen a movement with people that is just so encouraging. I'm seeing more people on their knees. I'm seeing more people lay hands on each other in public. People really, really actually pray for circles and have prayer time, and churches that devote hours to meeting and praying together. Guys, if your church does not have additional prayer time, you know, like you open up the sermon with prayer, but you don't meet as a congregation to pray, I think that should be a giant red flag. Because do they really believe that their prayer has power? Because I think if you believe your prayer has power, you stop and you pray. So let's go through a couple verses, because those are way more important than what I have. 4:6, my favorite. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray first so you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I get an amen? Colossians 4:2, continue steadfast, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 26, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us because we're not going to know how to pray perfectly. And he intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. That is a beautiful verse of how much the Holy Spirit wants to fight for our prayers. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's that whole prayer room concept. Go shut the door, get away, pray. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Guys, if you don't have someone that confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, and you just need someone, please reach out to me. I won't talk about you on my podcast, I promise. But everyone should have someone in fellowship that they can go to. I have a couple select friends that I know I can go to with this problem, and you will pray for me. And you're not going to go gossip about it, but you're going to pray for me. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I can recall multiple seasons for my bigger kids, but dry spells, and have started to feel kind of doubtful about the Lord and his power in their lives. It's always about their own lives. Like when we're young, it's hard to see past ourselves at times, right? It's always like right in front of like my problem. So for my daughter, and yes, I ask her permission to share this testimony with you, there's power in our stories. Okay, so I think there's power in sharing some of these stories, especially when they proclaim God's goodness in our lives. So she went through a season about a year ago where she would pray. And she was trying to pray, and she was trying to pray more, and just not feeling like God was hearing her or caring about what she was asking for. She just started to doubt that he was even hearing her. So we happened to be on a late drive back home from a camping trip when we were listening to some wonderful Christian music. And she just started to have tears rushing down her face. It was in the dark in the back seat. And I looked back and I'm like, oh my goodness. I asked her what was wrong. And after she regained her composure, she said, the Lord really showed me in this moment. He heard me. Wow. It was such an amazing moment for our family. She said she could literally feel the Holy Spirit's presence on her, and God comforted her in only a way that he can do. Her faith was instantly restored in this moment, and her doubts started to fade away. today, and she's pouring into the Word almost every other day, and almost every day, really. And she will probably take over this podcast one day. I'll have to step aside or buy another mic. Her ability to speak and iterate scripture is amazing for her young age. But do you see how much the enemy probably saw her potential and went, okay, I'm just going to throw a bunch of doubt and let you snag on all of this. Because if I can hold you back, if the enemy can hold you back with doubt, what the Lord has in store for you, if you can be crippled by your fears, by your doubts, by your worry, by your anxiousness, by your inability to see your identity in Christ, we won't accomplish God's call for our life. It's so important, guys, to speak this over your kids. Okay, tell you another quick story. Now, my son's older by a few years, and we have seen him go through multiple peaks and valleys. Okay, thankfully, he's still very communicative with us. So my husband, Cody, and I are able to come around him and minister him, you know, really often. The conversation we've had is a foundational concept we all need to have with our children. And that is the difference between our flesh and our spirit is still human, while our spirit has been made new in Christ. If we have accepted Christ, our flesh looks this, like nothing. We didn't get new faces. We didn't get like Botox the second we accepted Jesus. We still have all the wrinkles, all the things. But it's our spiritual body that has been made completely new in Christ. It's completed. It's perfect. I've been reading Andrew Womack's book, Spirit, Soul, and Body, which, oh my goodness, has truly equipped me with some incredible abilities to help my kids understand this concept on a deeper level. The way he spells it out is just amazing. If you've not read this book, oh my heavens, go pick one up. I'll share that in the notes too. But his ministry is actually only a couple hours from us down at Caris Bible College in Woodland Park. So it's a great resource for you, also for your family. They have incredible resources for families periodically through the year, different events and all sorts of stuff. So check that out. We have an incredible opportunity to minister to our kids when they start to snag, when they start to have doubts. We can pour into them. We can cover them with prayer. We can show them the power of prayer. We can show them that what they're facing is a mountain, but that's okay because God can move the mountains. He can. We can move it. If it's in our way, if it's holding us back, we can move it. So it's normal. We see it with the disciples. They have doubts all the time. The disciples were literally walking, eating, traveling with Jesus, and they all went through seasons of doubts. So it's our response to these thoughts and feelings that matter the most. We have to remember that doubts will come, but we have to call them out and see them for what they are. They are lies. Then we have to rebuke them. And we know they're ultimately from the enemy. Just like Eve sinned and fell into temptation because she did not recognize the lie in front of her. She let her flesh control her actions. We have to be spirit-led and not flesh-led. So the single reason that the Sunday school answer means the Sunday school answer is because it's truth. We have let it feel watered down and too simple to actually have meaning. But the reality is that reading your Bible spells out the truth. If we know the truth, then we'll be more likely to rebuke the lies. Secondly, if we go to church, we will have errands holding our arms up in faith so that when we have doubts, we can find encouragement from Christian fellowship and believers wanting to help us and keep us in the fold. And prayer, and I'm not just talking about praying when there's a need. That is the number one reason people fall on their knees is when they've hit rock bottom and then they decide to pray because it's a last resort. I'm not condemning that, but thankful for the people that have finally found Jesus in this way because that really should be how we all feel without a Savior. Instead, I'm talking about the kind of prayer that we are having continually with our Lord, the God of the heavens and the earth, our Creator. All of those scriptures about prayer that we talk through, and I promise they'll be in the notes, calls us to pray in all types of ways and for various reasons. We're to pray continually. We're to pray when we are anxious. When you're hurting, be watchful and pray. Pray with rejoicing, with thanksgiving, with authority, and with confidence. Okay, so like my husband's super strong. Like Marine works out 50 hours a day, like when there's only 24 hours a day. I don't know how he does it. Anyway, when I need something like, hey, I can't lift this, help me. Maybe it's the darn pickle jar that my tiny hands can't open. I go to him knowing 100% in faith he can do this. I can't do this on my own, but Cody can totally open this. Cody can totally pick this up. I have 100% full faith in his ability that he can do the task that I can't do. So why in the name of pickles do we doubt that the creator of the universe is incapable of our ask for him? Let's pray with authority and pray this over our parenting. Show our kids how much his power is right at our fingertips, ready to rescue our flesh. Guys, I hope this was encouraging to you today. Reading through this, learning some of this myself, what the Lord has revealed some of these things to me has been really encouraging and faith building to me personally. So I hope that that just extended past me and went to your heart today. I'd love for you to reach out. I'd love to get a comment or a share on our episodes so that I can connect with you further. And I just am so thankful for you listening today. I know today was an extra long episode, but I just want you to be encouraged. I will put all of those scriptures on the show notes. So go ahead and scroll down and look at those and open them up and share them with your kiddos because they're powerful tools. When our kids seem like praying is a chore, like that when I was a kid, where I'm like, oh, we're gonna have a family prayer time. This is like really like long, and it was probably 10 minutes, but I think all felt like it was 2 hours long at times because we didn't fully understand the power in what we were doing. And so let's spread that power to our children and help it ignite a flame in them that they will not forget how powerful our God is. Guys, have a blessed week. Wait, before you go, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Treehouse Storyteller so we can stay connected. Head on over to thetreehousestoryteller.com for more products, artwork, photography, and encouragement. See you next time.